afternoon. How are we? Good. Awesome. So family, yet again, it is very, very humbling for me to be able to bring the word for you. I'm going to ask my husband to come also sit and my nephew, my grandnephew to sit down. Because, exactly. And you know, this is the best part. We can speak like this because we're family, right? We're not outsiders. So I've been given a topic sermon to preach on, which says what Jesus says about serving. And by the way, are you impressed that I've actually got a slide up there? Yeah. I normally say, hey, open your Bible. So, you know, God is forever shaping me and molding me. So this is one part to have a slide. All right, so... Why do we serve, family? One of the first things we do when we become a Christian, we automatically serve in the church. Somehow we go like, yeah, all right, what can I do? What can I serve in the church? And a lot of people would ask you to serve so that they say, oh, in order for you to grow in your faith and what you do, come serve in church. Come do this. Come clean the toilets. Oh, not in this church, maybe. Come mow the grass. Oh, not in this church. You know, so, and sometimes, friends, when we serve, and if it's not from a place of the overflow, but of duty, we get a bit burnt out. We come to a place where we would be like, why am I serving? What am I doing? And we serve sometimes thinking it would get us somewhere. And then we will reach a certain point where we either think we have arrived or have reached your limits because you feel you could never arrive. Or your season have finished. Because of age, maybe because of life situations, when we say it's finished. And then you know what? We stop serving. So you say it's time to step down, time to take a break. But today I sense the Lord is inviting us and challenging us to a deeper understanding, to take a look at this particular scripture and to go and grow deeper in our understanding about serving. Are we excited? Yeah. So this afternoon, we are going to look at Mark 10:35-45. So a dear sister yesterday asked me, am I going to sing? Am I going to have music accompaniment as I preach today? I said, maybe not. but if I suddenly do it, please forgive me. Please accept me. You know me. Yeah. I might call my husband, Josh or Michelle, to say, hey, come play the keys for me. But anyway, my hope and prayer for you today, that the word of our Lord Jesus Christ would inspire you, my friends, not just to motivate you. Because motivation is action-orientated. And it's tied into achieving goals and expecting a reward. So it is short-lived when you're motivated. But to inspire means to fill you with desire and passion, which brings about internal transformation that compels you to act out a personal conviction, out of personal conviction or a sense of purpose. So today, I really hope you are inspired rather than being motivated. Is that all right? Yeah? You with me? So let us pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Silence the noise of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. We want to see you. We want to see you. Silence the noise in our minds, Lord. Open the eyes of our hearts. We want to see you. We want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. That's our prayer, Father God. We open ourselves to your word today. Chip away things that are not of you today. Do a deep inward work and help us to be genuinely transformed by you, Abba Father. Because we just want to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I did break out in singing. So Mark 10, 35 to 45. Let me set the stage for you guys so that we all know what's been happening, okay? So by this point in the story, if you haven't read the book of Mark, I would encourage you to read the book of Mark, all right? So by this point in the story, Jesus and his disciples are on their way to Jerusalem. And Jesus has been very open with them about what's going to happen, and especially when they get there, he's going to be arrested, he's going to be mocked, he's going to be beaten, and ultimately killed. But he also tells them that in 3 days later, he will rise again. Now this isn't the first time Jesus has talked about his death. He's mentioned a few times before. But each time the disciples struggled to understand what he means. And I think sometimes, I mean, like, can you imagine if I tell you guys, hey, you know, this is going to happen. This is going to happen to me. I'm going to be mocked. I'm going to be killed. But every time you hear it, I'm like, hey, but you're still doing great things. Hey, well, I don't think you're going to go anytime soon. But so I can understand that disciples actually find it very hard to actually concentrate on that's going to happen. But instead, they're still hoping that Jesus will overthrow the Romans and set up a kingdom where they can be powerful leaders alongside him. In fact, just before this passage, Jesus gives them the most detailed explanation yet about his suffering and death. But the disciples still didn't get it. Sometimes we all go through that, don't we? Instead of focusing on what Jesus is saying about humility and sacrifice, two of them, James and John, do you know they're brothers? And they are the sons of Zebedee, and they're also known as the sons of thunder. They are more concerned about their own status. This brings us to today's verses, where James and John approach Jesus with a bold and somewhat selfish request. They're about to ask him for something really big. And Jesus uses this moment to teach all of them and us a powerful lesson about what it really means to follow him and what it means to really serve him and others. And let's read. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. And they replied, let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left hand in your glory. You don't know what you're asking for, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? We can, they answered, we can. And Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right hand and left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. And when the ten heard about this, they become indignant with James and John. And Jesus then felt that. I think he said, okay, come together. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. But not so with you. Instead, Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So from that passage, have you all read that passage before? Do you remember that one? Yes? You know, I asked the Lord, what are you saying here? What actually is standing out here? What do you want to highlight to us as a community here? What can we glean from this passage? And one of the things that stood out for me was the disciples' request. There were three things, actually. And then Jesus' response and the call to servanthood. And I've got a slide to break. Oh, there you go. Thank you, Lepster. So what we're going to do right now, first and foremost, we're going to look into the disciples' request actually revealed the posture of their hearts. Yeah? It's a bit of a serious message today, but I really, really hope and pray that it will speak to us somehow, way or form. James and John asked Jesus ever so boldly, "We want you to do for us whatever we ask." I don't know about you guys, but working at a school as a chaplain, I have children come to me and say, "Hey, Rena, you got to do whatever we ask you to do." And I'm like, what? Parents who have children, do you have that? Does that happen to you guys? No? Oh, you got such polite children. Wow, they will actually ask you. They never tell you what to do. Awesome. My mom can tell you how much I say, "Mom, please say yes," before I even ask the question. You know, I am actually surprised of that statement coming actually from the two of them. I would expect it more from Peter, but not from them. But I was wondering, what does it take for anyone to be able to make such a bold request? So there are a few thoughts that I would like to present to you. So one of them is that they have completely misunderstood Jesus' mission. They believed Jesus was the Messiah. They believed that Jesus was to establish a physical, earthly kingdom and overthrowing the Roman rulers so that they can restore the Israel's glory. But they don't understand the nature of the kingdom, thinking it would be involving political powers and glory rather than suffering and service. And this boldness comes from ambition to secure a place of honor before others could. James and John were part of the inner circle, so maybe that was one of the reasons, as they had witnessed significant moments with Jesus, like the Transfiguration, and then made them think that they have special favor, because they say, "Hey, you know what? We've been with Jesus a bit, you know, we know how he roll. We've seen him through the deep and darkest side of things and the great things. So surely we are his inner circle buddies." But not only that, in Matthew 20:20, it was actually mentioned that the mother, John and James's mother, I don't know how to pronounce her name. Pastor probably can help me pronounce her name. Salome, she actually even asked Jesus, "Hey, can they sit at your right and left?" And I'm like, wow, how old are these boys to be asking their mother to come and actually speak on behalf of them? Don't you think it's strange? You got to ask questions when you read the Word of God. You know, and that's when I actually read long, long time ago, I thought that, and I was like, that's so weird. How old are they? Anyway. That's one of the cards that they pulled, because Salome was actually known to be Mary's sister. So they're cousins. So they're pulling the family card and say, "Hey, I'm your family member too. I'm your cousin. Can you like let me into this? Like, can I be sitting with you? Can I rule with you?" And it is a desire for greatness. James and John were concerned about their ranks and status within the group. Just earlier in the chapter, the disciples were arguing, "Oh, who's the greatest among us?" And one thing they do have is confidence in Jesus' power, because their request demonstrated that faith in Jesus as the Messiah who would reign in glory, even though they didn't quite understand fully. They believed Jesus was capable for granting that request. So without realizing, their self-ambition got the other disciples upset. My friends, if we are not careful when we start having ambitions within ourselves, I'm not saying ambitions are not good, they are good, but when it is misguided ambition, it could cause division amongst brothers and sisters, and it could cause division in the church. So we've got to be careful what we say and how we say and how we think, hey? And it's easy for us to pick on James and John, what they did, but I believe that the Lord has allowed us to see this particular scripture, because it shows us that you can be walking with Jesus for a long, long time, and you could be believing in Him, you could have full faith in Him, but then yet our heart can be corrupted. Jeremiah 17:9 speaks, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" So my friends, we have to guard our hearts with all diligence, because out of it flows issues of life. Would flow issues of life. So we gotta guard our hearts. You know, let me go ahead. What can we learn from this passage about people, about the posture of our hearts? It shows us that we are prone to selfish ambition. We want to have power. We want recognition. We want to gain something personally, even in spiritual matters. Our hearts focus on what we can get rather than what we can serve. Don't get me wrong. Like I said before, it's not wrong to have ambition. It's good to have ambitions, but I think sometimes we just go a bit off course. We put our achievements in life far greater than what God actually wants us to do. And that's just as simple as being there for one another, to love one another, to serve one another, as it is as simple as willing to sit with someone and just listen to them and trying not to fix them and have answers in your head what to say to them already after they finished. You know what I mean? It's not our position we hold at work or at church or whatever we have behind or in front of our names, but it is the position of our hearts that God so need and desire for us to please Him. As simple as that. Sometimes we come to that place and we would misunderstand God's kingdom, because just as the disciples, we associate greatness with status and having authority in God's kingdom. And I think most of us, when we're called to this place, we our hearts tend to resist the thought of sacrifice. We all prefer comfort, ease, and avoiding hardship when we are called to something greater. And this shows that the disciples really need a desperate need of transformation. It shows that our hearts are not naturally aligned to God's will. We need Jesus to transform our minds, our hearts, and really reflect His character in understanding what it means to serve in humility. So two things we can learn from here, from this first part of the passage. God hates pride and honors humility. Proverbs 8:13 says, "The dear of the Lord is to hate pride." Proverbs 16:5 says, "Anyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord." Proverbs 21:4 says, "A proud heart is sin." Romans 1:30 says, pride is, no, I'm not going to say that one. 1 Timothy 3:6, pride comes from the devil. 1 Timothy 6:3 says, pride is a mark of all teachers. 1 John 2:16, pride is the characteristic of the world. James 4:6 says, pride alienates one from God because God resists the proud. On the other hand, James 4:6 actually talks about he gives grace to the humble. Humility is a virtue that God honors. Micah 6:8 says, what does God require of you? Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly before the Lord. 1 Peter 5:5 tells us that all of you, not just one of us, all of us, to clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. 1 Philippians 2:3-8 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. Are you all still with me? Good. So we learn about the disciples. We learn about the condition of people's hearts, our hearts. But now we're going to look at how Jesus responded to the disciples, that we can learn from God's character. And I love this part because this is the way Jesus would disciple his disciples. And I think this is a call for us to actually learn to disciple others. You see, with James and John's misguided ambition, he did not rebuke them harshly. He didn't. Instead, he patiently redirected their thinking by actually asking, what do you want me to do for you? You know, in school, as a chaplain, we're actually taught not to prejudge a situation. We're actually taught to listen. And the word that the psychologist actually taught us, be curious. Do not just quickly judge somebody while you're listening to them, but ask questions. And that was the one thing that stood out for me. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Can you imagine when Jesus said that to you? What do you want me to do for you? Even though you know what's happening with them, even though Jesus knew what was happening in James and John's heart, he still asked them, what do you want me to do for you? And this shows that we have the assurance Jesus would meet us where we are at, even when our understanding is flawed, you know, and then he guides us towards this truth with love and grace. Isn't that beautiful? That's who our Abba Father is, hey? And then the disciples didn't ask a question, but boldly stated, let us sit with you at the right hand and the left hand in your glory. And Jesus actually tenderly rebuked them and actually saying, hey, you don't know what you asked for. Can you drink this cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? And with no hesitation, yes, they said, we can. And Jesus corrected that by saying, and without dismissing them, knowing full well that the request was pretty selfish, he says that true greatness requires sacrifice. True greatness is not about status or privilege, but about willingness to sacrifice for others. And when Jesus spoke of the cup and the baptism, they are both metaphors of suffering and sacrifice. The suffering refers to the challenges and the trials of hardships that could come with following Jesus. Who in this room has never encountered hardships? All of us have. That's good to know. That means you're ready. You're ready. Because for Jesus, suffering reached its peak in his crucifixion, where he gave his life for you and for me, for all humanity, for the people out there, and for his followers, us, it could look like a rejection, persecution, and giving up personal desires for the sake of others and God's kingdom. I realize I don't have much time. So I'm going to jump into the call of servanthood. You know, when I love the way Jesus brings back and redirected their thoughts by actually saying, hey, this is the way you should be doing. By actually modeling it for them, that service is not going to be easy. And he said, don't go to that place of wanting to rule like the way the world would rule. That you set your authority like the way the world would show their authority. Jesus is inviting us to a place and say, to call a place and say, hey, imitate me. And what does that look like? He said, I am here to, I'm called to serve and not to be served. And he said, if you want to be first, you got to be slave of all. That's pretty scary because not many people want to be in that place. Not many people want to serve and to be a slave. But my friends, Jesus had all authority. He chose to serve you and me. And he gave his life for you and me, so that we would do the same. So what is God saying to you and me today? You know, in the last 1 month that I had to prepare for this message, one of the things that the Lord showed me was, is that I've never experienced such full schedule ever in my whole 1 month. It's like I have to meet people and people call me up, hey, can you do my vow renewal? Can you do a funeral? By the way, I've never ever done a funeral in my life until recently, until last week. And I realized with that every single thing that God has called me, it was so inconvenient. It was hard. While I had to meet, while I saw the family after seeing the family to do the funeral, I had a phone call from one of the mothers at school. Can you come and pray for my daughter because she's breaking down? She can't sleep. So all the way from Midland, I drove back to Yanchep and go and see that young girl and prayed with her. And she finally, and prayed with for her friend as well. And the next day, I got some news saying that, hey, what you prayed for, God answered. We don't understand. When God calls us, it never is when we're comfortable, when we've got it all together. That's not the way he moves. In fact, 2 days ago, one of the mothers actually came and spoke to me, and she said, hey, Rena, I'm really struggling here. I'm really stressed out. I'm really trying to live a very balanced life. I said, well, where did you get that from? Because Jesus never called us to live a balanced life. Did you know that? If you're trying to balance everything, that doesn't work. That's not his way. His way is we seek the kingdom of God first. We seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything else shall be added unto you. That's the way he does it. When we prioritize, it's not about having balance. You know what? Let me tell you, you can't even have a balanced food. If you can sustain it for 1 week, yay, congratulations. But really, 1 month is a few days for me is already pretty hard. That's why I failed and I put on weight. But it doesn't matter. Hence, I'm in a dress. You know what? We're family and I want to say that. But you know what, friends? Are you willing to sit with someone Are we willing to sit with someone and just listen to them? Listen to what God is doing. You don't have to try and do something and, oh, what skill do I need to acquire to be a blessing to that person? God has already put something in you, within you, to actually go out and just sit with someone and listen. I want to honor Maureen at the back there. You know, he's all quiet and he doesn't say, well, he's not quiet. He's quite loud sometimes. But I just want to honor him because he really listens to the Holy Spirit. And when he calls me, you can just sit down and feel that you are heard. I'm sure a lot of you all here would do the same as well. I have inconvenienced my dear friend Sarah one time at 9 o'clock, or was it 9? 8 something. And I had to stay at her house until 12:30 at midnight. I've inconvenienced her, but we had a beautiful time together. Just sharing, and I thank you for the Lim family for allowing me into their house while waiting for my husband. What are we willing to do? What has God called us? We're called to serve because that's what Jesus did. He came to serve. He didn't come to live in this glorious, like, hey, this is my kingdom. We have a mandate to go out, to show His love, to speak of His goodness, to show His grace. In fact, can I ask you to just look around? Look around you. Look around, turn around, look at your friends and your sisters here today. Your brothers and sisters here today. Look at them. Are we willing to sit down and listen? Are we willing to say yes again? You know, Sarah spoke of this morning, earlier on, that are we willing to say yes again? I don't know where you have been. I don't know what you have gone through in your Christian life, in your walk with Jesus. You may have walked away. You may have been so burnt out and been so upset with God even. But He's inviting you in this place. He's challenging you. He said, hey, I've given my life. I'm willing. I laid down my life for you. Are you willing to lay down your life for another person? We're very quick to judge. We're very quick put someone down or to put ourselves down. But the Lord is saying, hey, no, I'm here. I love you. I want you. I want to serve you. You know, when we walk out of here, it may feel like, hey, all right, Rena preached an all right message. It's okay. If she doesn't become the pastor, who cares? You know what? But let me tell you something. But I really hope that when you walk out of here, that one thing that you would come and catch and you say, yes again, God. Yes again. I'm sorry that I missed it. That I actually said, you know, I was so excited in the beginning and then somewhere along the line, you know, I stopped. But Lord, I want to give my life to you. I want to live my life serving you because that's what you've done for me. I want to make every moment, every day count. When I go to my workplace, when I'm at home, you know what? Husband and wife would have less fighting at home or arguments if they actually learn to serve each other. One person agreed. It's true. It's actually you being kind and serve. You know what? It's very hard to serve because when in a heated of argument, you do not want to be kind or serve your spouse. You don't, right, husband? Yes. When it is hard and tough, and when you're in a heated argument, the one thing that you want to do, the last thing that you want to do is to be kind and to serve. But let me tell you, Jesus is our husband. He served you. He knew what, how ugly you are. I'm talking about myself. Not you. You guys are all pretty beautiful here. But let me tell you something. That's how God is. That's how Jesus is. Be kind. Serve. I'm grateful to be at the school where God has called me. Because all of them would talk about what the universe is doing, or star signs or horoscopes. And then I said, why am I quiet? And I said, no, I'm not going to keep quiet. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. So you know what I said? My Jesus is good. This is what he has done for me. And then you know what? They go like, oh, really? I said, why are you always happy? How come you're so good? How come you? I said, it is hard times, but I can still smile because I have God's joy. And I'm here to show that to you. And one of the guys, you know, one of the teachers, he was bleeding on his leg. And I quickly just came and cleaned his leg. Said, what you doing? Don't touch me. Don't touch me. Sorry. Don't touch my legs. I didn't tell my husband that. But anyway, now he knows. So I quickly cleaned up his wound. And he goes, why did you do that? Because my Jesus would do that for you. Are we willing to stoop down as Jesus had done for you and for me? Again, I say, this is here not to motivate you, but this is to say it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the Christ, that Holy Spirit that I carry within me, is the one that I want to please, is the one that I want to listen to. And Pastor always say, hear what Jesus says and do, listen to Jesus and do what he says. Literally, wake up in the morning. You know what? We do have a busy schedule. We do have children and mouths to feed, take them to school from one activity to the other. We have work to go to. I have got a dog that wants to wake me up at 4 something in the morning to walk him for an hour. So I understand in some respect. But this is the way how Jesus did it. Just come away with him. Come away with him. Even 5 minutes. And say, hey, Father, what is it that you want me to do? Who do you want me to speak to? Is it today? Is it tomorrow? Is it him or is it her? Is it to the one or to the 5,000? Or is it for me to just sit still and wait on you? And then I'm ready to serve whoever you take with me, whoever you want me to go see and meet and look and tell them about you. I'm going to ask Crystal to sing this song. It's called Yes Again. It's by Darlene Check's new song. But I hope that this song will minister to you to actually say yes again and say, yes, Lord, I want to live for you every day, all the days of my life.